Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Maksima Tova. I want to talk tonight about treating the ill, treating sick people on Yom Kippur. And I want to start with a question that was asked of Rabbi Ephraim Oshri. Rabbi Ephraim Oshri was the rabbi in the during the time of the Kovna ghetto. He was a rabbi in Kovna and Slabodka before the war. Then he was the rabbi during the time of the Kovna ghetto. He miraculously was saved, and he found after the war his manuscripts that he had hidden. He came to live in New York afterwards, and he published 5 volumes of his Shelos and Chulos Mimamakim, which are still available, and he discusses many tragic but at the same time fascinating issues. Someone who came to him, actually the doctor in the hospital in the ghetto, Dr. Eip, came to him on Erev Yom Kippur, 1941. And he asked Rabbi Oshri to come and to speak to the patients in the hospital, because he wanted Rabbi Oshri to tell the patients that they couldn't fast on Yom Kippur. Even those patients who weren't in such grave danger at that moment, Dr. Eip was concerned that if they fast, there wouldn't be enough food after the fast for everybody. So if the fast didn't get them sick, then the experience after the fast, and actually ironically eating, would get them sick. And Rabbi Oshri describes how he went and he told the patients they had to eat. And at the end he says that everyone listened, except for one patient, who had a personality of kind of being independent, to doing his own thing. And he writes, "Ulitzari harav u'meginat libi," says, unfortunately, "Niftar ha'ish le'olamo miyad b'motzai Yom HaKippurim." This man passed away immediately after Yom Kippur. "Ki gufo lo atzar koach la'amod batzon," because he just didn't have the strength to survive the fast. "U'chafi shesipru li ha'cholim," and the other people in the hospital told me, that this man, he's palel ha'ish et tfilot hayom ha'kadosh b'bechiyot gedolot v'shebevadai b'vidui, says that this man davened like they had never seen anybody daven before. "U'meis b'tshuva gemura," and he died having performed the full tshuva. And this story really raises the question. On Yom Kippur. If the important questions, important in terms of learning are important, obviously in terms of halacha, these questions are important. Rabbis are asked these questions, in the week, in the days, in the hours before Yom Kippur, these questions come up all the time. Every situation is unique, practically, halacha l'maisa, but I'd like just to discuss some of the basic principles and some of the background to discuss this issue. The discussion of how to treat the sick on Yom Kippur really begins with a Mishnah Yuma that talks about the prohibition of eating Kippur. Yom HaKippurim asur be'achila u'v'shesia u'v'rechitza u'v'sicha u'v'n'ilas ha'sandal v'tashbish hamita. Yom Kippur is prohibited in eating and drinking, in washing, in anointing, wearing leather shoes, and in sexual relations. V'amelech v'hakala yirchatzu es p'nehem. The king and the bride are allowed to wash their faces. V'achaya tino asasando, the woman who had just given birth, is allowed to wear the asim. V'chachamim osrim. But the chachamim do not allow any distinction. And they say that every town by the rules, by the prohibitions of Yom Kippur. How much does one eat on Yom Kippur to fall into the category of the prohibited? If careful exactly, we'll see why exactly I'm careful how to say that. Hoko kikoseves hagasa, someone who eats a date's worth, a thick, big date's worth. Kamoha uche garinta, the date with its seed. Hashosem elalugma chayav, and the one who drinks a cheekful is chayav. Now that is interesting in itself. You see that the shear, the amount when it comes to solids, is in objectives, in absolutes. Kiko, seves, hagas, we don't know how much that is yet, but it's an absolute. Mololugmav obviously is different. Everybody has a different cheek size. So, very simply, the post can say that the amount here is an ounce of liquid and an ounce of solid, meaning the shear of solid that's prohibited is an ounce, and the shear of liquid that's prohibited is an ounce, even though it's different liquids for everybody. But that's the way the post can say, that's the way we kind of standardize the shear. Kol ha'ochlin mitztarfin l'kako seves, v'chol ha'mashkin mitztarfin l'milo lugmav, says all the foods combine for the kako seves. Means that if you can only have an ounce worth of food, if you have half an ounce of applesauce and half an ounce of cherries, so they combine to make the ounce. And the same thing with drinks. Half an ounce of Coca-Cola, half an ounce of orange juice combined for the ounce. However, ha'ochel v'shosa ein v'starfin. However, food and drink do not combine. So therefore, you can have an ounce of liquid and an ounce of solid, and they do not combine with one another. So they ask the Gemara, asur anush karesu. Why does the Mishnah start? It says Yom Kippur asur v'achilu v'shisiyah. It says that Yom Kippur is asur. Achilu shisiyah. It's not asur. It's not prohibited. But rather, it is. There's an isur kares. There's a punishment of kares if you eat or drink on Yom Kippur. So Amar Rav Ila, Vitema Rav Yirmiya, Lo Nitzricha Ella L'chatzi Shir. When it says asur, it's coming to tell you that even though the shear of prohibition on Yom Kippur is a koseves, is a date worth, or is a mole lugmav, is a cheekful, nevertheless, if you eat less than that, it still is prohibited. You may not be chayav kares, but nevertheless, it is prohibited. So, the first thing we see from from this Mishnah and from the Gemara that follows is the fact that there are really two levels of prohibition on Yom Kippur. One level of prohibition is that if you eat a certain amount, you are chayav kares. Anything, but it's less than that shear, it's asur, it's prohibited. However, it is not chayav kares. Whether or not that isser is an isser d'oraisa, an isser from the Torah, or an isser d'rabban, and this is a machlokas in the beginning of the first parak of Yuma, machlokas in Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, it's not our issue. However, we do paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, the chatzi shear is asur. So far, we have not spoken about about someone who's sick on Yom Kippur. Here, we've only talked about the shear of anybody. This is what you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. What about someone who's sick? What's their status on Yom Kippur? So that actually is discussed in the Mishnah on Pei Beis of an Aleph later on in the eighth parak of Maseches Yuma, and the Mishnah says, Ubra Sheheiricha, a pregnant woman who smells food on Yom Kippur, Machilinosa, you give her food, Ashe Tashiv Nafsha, until she is satisfied. Chole, someone who's ill, Machilinosa al pi bikiyin, you give him food based on what the experts, based on what the doctors say. Vimein Shan bikiyin, if there are no experts, if there are no doctors, Machilin oso al piatzmo ad shiomar dai. You give him food, him or her food, as they say that they need, until they say enough. Well, first of all, what's the halacha about a pregnant woman? Why is an ubra, why does she have a special status? So the Mishnah understands that a pregnant woman who has a craving for food, if she doesn't get food, then there's a risk, not only to the baby, but also to her own life. So therefore, she is considered a pregnant woman who has a craving. It's considered to be a chola sheyesh bat sakana, as a to eat as much as she needs. What does it say about a chola? What does it say about someone who's ill? You're allowed to feed them al pi bikiyim. You're allowed to feed them based on what the doctor says. If the doctor says that they are chola sheyesh bo sakana, then you would feed them as much food as they need. And what about if there are no doctors? What about if you're in shul, you're in a place where there are no doctors? So you give them to eat as much food as they need until they themselves say enough. There's a whole discussion about what happens if the doctors say one thing and the patient says another, who wins. That's an interesting discussion, not for here, but that is a very, very interesting discussion. The Gemara talks about this situation of a pregnant woman. And the Gemara tells the following story. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Ugra Shehiricha B'sar Kodesh, O B'sar Chazir. A pregnant woman who smells either kodshim or non-kosher food, B'sar Chazir, Tochavin la kush birotav. You put a stick in the gravy. Umanichin la alpiha. And then you place it on her lips, on her mouth. In the shashva data mutav, if she's satisfied with that, good. Vimlav machilin osarotavatsma. If not, then you feed her the gravy itself. Vimnisyashva data mutav. If she's satisfied, if not, you give her the actual meat. Because nothing stands in the way of pikuach nefesh, with the exception of avodah zarah gilui arayis shechus damim. So what it means here is that if you have someone who's a chol v'sheish basakana, you would allow them either to eat non-kosher or kodshim or eat on Yom Kippur. Interestingly, the Braisa says that there seems to be a progression. You don't give them food immediately. First, you just allow the stick to go into the gravy and just place the stick on their mouth. Then you give them from the gravy, only then do you give it from the meat itself. But even though they're, interestingly enough, first of all, you do give them food to save their lives. And number two, what's interesting is, you don't see mentioned in this Gemara at all the pasulet less than is the amount of kares. You do not find that in this Gemara at all. So here we go. Let's just see where we're at this point. We see from first Mishnah Gemara in the 8th Perek that there are two categories of eating on Yom Kippur. One is if you eat more than a shear, you're chayav kares. The other is if you eat less than a shear, it's aser. It's aser min ha-Torah, according to Rabbi Yochanan. However, there's no kares. Now, what about for a chola? So the Mishnah, and the Gemara that explains the Mishnah says that a chola sheyesh bo sakan, a chola who is in some kind of life-threatening situation, is allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, and there's no discussion about how much you give the chola. Maybe that you first allow him just to taste, but that would make more sense in the case of a pregnant woman who has a craving. For a chola or a chola, it would seem to be that you would give them as much food as they feel that they need, and that would be some question if the doctor say one thing and the person says another thing. That'd be a question to determine, who would win in that case. Okay, so here you go. So if we stopped here, we would say that someone who is sick is allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. How much are they allowed to eat? They're allowed to eat as much as they want on Yom Kippur. However, there is one last Gemara that deals with this issue. That Gemara is in a kind of odd place for this discussion, or at least on the surface an odd place. That Gemara is in the third Perek of Krisus. The third Perek of Krisus talks about all the different situations for which you're chayav kares. And Mr. Kares, how much do you have to eat? And how quickly do you have to eat it? The Gemara says you have to eat the shear. Bikdei achilas pras. You have to eat it in a certain amount of time. We say the kdei achilas pras. That means eat it within 9 minutes. Now, in that discussion of eating, which will lead to an issur kares, the Gemara says the following, not talking about Yom Kippur, talking generally, Kitani. Hitiru la leubra lechal pachos mikashir b'nei asakan. A pregnant woman to eat less than the shear due to sakana, meaning if she's in a risky, dangerous situation. Asks the Gemara, mipnei asakana, she's really in a dangerous situation, afilu tuva namitechel. She should be allowed to eat as much as she needs. If she's a chola sheish ba sakana, she should be allowed to eat as much as she needs. So amara papa, hachifani, this is what it means. Hutra la leubra pachos mikashir, afilu tuva mipnei asakana. An ubra, a pregnant woman, is allowed to eat pachos mikashir as often as she needs to mipnei asakana. So the Gemara here has a whole different approach to this ubra, to this pregnant woman. According to this Gemara, a pregnant woman is allowed to eat, but she has to eat only pachos mikashir. And if she eats that pachos mikashir, she can eat, as long as she waits kedila kedachilas pras between the edicts, she can eat pachos mikashir as many times as she needs to eat pachos mikashir. Now, the question when you learn this Gemara in Krisos is, how and if this Gemara in Krisos affects the discussion of a chola on Yom Kippur. The Gemara in Yom Kippur, in Yuma, does not mention pachos mikashir. Says if you have a chola or a chola, that chola or chola can eat as much as they need. If the doctors say they need to eat, the person's allowed to eat. No mention of pachos mikashir. However, the Gemara in Krisos introduces the idea that someone who needs to eat, a chola who needs to eat, should be affected in the halacha of Yom Kippur. So, this issue was discussed in a number of places in the Rishonim. But for simplicity's sake, let's jump to the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says in Simon Tuf Reshit Ches Siv Zayin, talking about the dinim of a chole on Yom Kippur. Kishemachilin es ha'ubros o es ha'chole. When you feed the pregnant women or a chole on Yom Kippur, ma'achilin osa me'at me'at. You feed them a little bit. You feed them pachos mikashir. Then he goes on and he explains exactly what the shear is. V'imamdu shein hashir ma'alolu maspikim lo. O shachole omer keno shenisapku b'davar ma'achilin ma'ashin oso kol tzarka. And it's only if it turns out that the pachos mikashir is not enough, only then do we feed the chole whatever the chole needs. Interestingly, Naruch seems to paskin that when it comes to Yom Kippur, the Gemara in Krisos is the deciding factor. And that when it comes to Yom Kippur, someone who needs to eat only eats pachos mikashir. And this makes sense. Eating on Yom Kippur is only something that facilitates us to fast, means the obligation on Yom Kippur. The Nisim Nashel Seichem says that you have to fast on Yom Kippur. Someone who needs to eat on Yom Kippur, well, they should eat in a way that will still allow them to fast. So how much are they allowed to eat? At least at the beginning they should try to eat so that they would still be considered to be a faster. And there is no question that someone who eats pachos mikashir, even though pachos mikashir is aser, but a chole who eats pachos mikashir is still considered to be a faster on Yom Kippur. In that regard, there's a discussion about getting aliyos on Yom Kippur if you're not fasting. But according to those who say, and Mincha especially, that you would not be allowed to get an aliyah if you're not fasting on Yom Kippur, but you would be allowed to get an aliyah if you ate pachos mikashir. You are still considered to be a faster on Yom Kippur, even if you ate pachos mikashir. You may be in violation of depending on whether or not you're a chole and what the situation is. But you're still considered to be a faster on Yom Kippur, and that's the Shulchan Aruch says, that if you're sick, the most important thing to do is to make sure that you remain a faster on Yom Kippur. You remain someone who is fasting on Yom Kippur. This approach to feeding a chole on Yom Kippur has been the approach of most poskim and most Rabbanim to this very day. If you look in the modern books, Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, some of the books that are written on Hilchos Yom Kippur, just go to the bookstore and look, flip through, you'll see that most of the poskim say that this is the rule. Someone who needs to eat should eat pachos mikashir. Someone who needs to take medicine and needs water should make sure they only take an ounce full of water. Make sure that they're still considered to be a faster. Someone who's still included in the, you know, in the prohibition, or at least in the included in the requirement of the inisim es nafshoseich. However, there is another view, and that view is the view of Rav Chaim Brisk, asked or written in the Chidushei Moran Rigriz Halevi al Harambam, the Brisker Rav on the Rambam, Rav Chaim Brisker's son, Rav Elbel Soloveitchik, who was the Rav in Brisk, who moved to Eretz Yisrael. So his work on the Rambam has been printed, and he writes, he has one piece in Hilchos Shvi'is Asar, in Laws of Yom Kippur, and he writes as follows. V'hinei Adonai Mother, Rav Chaim Brisker, Hayamore Uba. He said he used to tell people, Bechol chole sheyesh bo sakana, kigon makash al chalal v'chadome, sheyachilu oso b'yom ha-kipurim kol tzorcho, v'lo pachos mikashir. Rav Chaim Brisker used to tell someone who was sick, a chole sheyesh bo sakana on Yom Kippur, that they should eat whatever they need to eat, and not pachos mikashir. V'yamar hatam, and he explained the reason. Dechevan shehu kvar chole sheyesh bo sakana. Since he is a chole sheyesh bo sakana, harei yom ha-kipurim nidchelo l'chol ha-mo'il yosel l'raposo. Shevichlal zeh gam chizuk gufo. He says, someone who is sick, the laws of Yom Kippur do not apply to them. There's no such thing as chatishir. If you're sick, you don't have to fast on Yom Kippur. Not only don't you have to fast on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to fast on Yom Kippur. The Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik, used to always say in the name of his grandfather, that Rav Chaim used to say that some people think that I'm being makil on Yom Kippur. He says, no, I'm not being makil on Hilchos Yom Kippur. I'm being machmir on Hilchos Pikuach Nefesh. V'cheven d'shir sholim yoser tov v'acholim emeilu d'gamze b'chlal pikuach nefesh edoche yom ha-kipur. Okay. And then he says, what about the Gemara in Krisos? What about the Shulchan Aruch that says that you're machilin oso pachos mikashir, that you give a chol v'sheyesh bo sakana on Yom Kippur, you start with pachos mikashir. V'divlin oso pachos mikashir, kai meirak al chol v'shadayin ein bo sakana. Rak sheharofei omer shin lo yachilu oso b'yom ha-kipurim, yichabed alav or yichbad alav acholi v'yistake. He says something amazing. Rav Chaim Brisker says that the Gemara in Krisos and the Shulchan Aruch are talking about a very specific case. They're talking about, remember, the Gemara in Krisos is talking about a pregnant woman. A pregnant woman is not yet a chole sheyesh bo sakana. The problem with a pregnant woman is we're afraid she might become a chole sheyesh bo sakana. Says Rav Chaim Brisker, to prevent somebody from becoming a chole sheyesh bo sakana, then we give them pachos mikashir. Very specifically, that Gemara in Krisos is talking about only a very specific case. However, anyone else for whom there is no, anyone else who is already a chole sheyesh bo sakana, in that situation, you would give them whatever they needed to eat, and you would not limit what they eat to a chol sheyesh bo sakana. So what do we have? We have here a machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and Rav Chaim Brisker about how you deal with a chol sheyesh bo sakana. According to the Shulchan Aruch, any chol sheyesh bo sakana, you start by giving them pachos mikashir. And it's only if pachos mikashir is not enough, only then would you give them a shir. Only then would you give them whatever they needed to eat. The Shulchan Aruch believes, again, that v'nisim es nafshoseichem, the obligation on Yom Kippur is to fast. We do whatever we can, even for a chole, to allow them to eat, to allow them to be considered fasters on Yom Kippur. Rav Chaim Brisker says no. Rav Chaim Brisker actually says that a chole sheyesh bo sakana, the laws of Yom Kippur don't apply to him anymore. And therefore there's no issue of trying to And therefore he eats whatever he needs to eat. The Gemara in Krisus says, you give him pachos mikashir. The Gemara in Krisus is talking about a very specific case. That's the case where the person is not yet a chol. Coming a chol sheish basakana. Now, it's interesting that the encyclopedia Hilchatit Rifuit talks about this issue. It's very interesting. It talks about all the laws of fasting. Talks about this specifically. Talks about all the laws of fasting on Yom Kippur. And he quotes here from an old machzor something that's really amazing. He says that there used to be, at least one of the machzorim have, that someone who eats on Yom Kippur recites the following Hidini Muchanu Mezuman before they eat on Yom Kippur. Hidini Muchanu Mezuman Lekayim Mitzvah Sachilu Shesiyah Yom HaKippurim. Kmo Shekasavta Besarasech Ushmatim Eskukosai Vesmishpatai Asher Yaseu Sam Ha'adam V'chayi Bohem Ani Hashem. Says, you actually say Hidini Muchanu Mezuman to eat on Yom Kippur. Uvizchutz, and then you go on in the Hidini Muchanu Mezuman Uvizchutz Kiyam Mitzvah Zu. In the merit of my fulfillment of this mitzvah of eating on Yom Kippur, tachtomoti, I should have a gemar chasima tova. There's kol chole amcha veis amcha Yisrael refuah shlema. That we all the chole Yisrael should have a gemar tov. The ezkev yom akipur mabal lekayim shuv binisim es nafshotechem keni hiratzonome. That near to Shem next year, I'll be able to fast in good health. That's an amazing Hidini Muchan Mezuman. I would argue that that Hidini Muchan Mezuman makes more sense according to Reb Chaim. According to Shulchan Aruch, if you eat, first of all, you eat Pachos Mikashir, you still want to be a faster. There's no idea, at least not preferably, to be eating on Yom Kippur. You eat with a long face, so to speak, on Yom Kippur. You eat only if you have absolutely no choice. There are no Hidini Muchan Mezumans to someone who eats on Yom Kippur. But to Reb Chaim Brisker, there are two different issues here. One, obligation of a cholish yesh bo sakana to take care of himself. Ushmartim es chukosai v'chai bohem. That you have to live v'chai bohem lo shiyambus bohem. And therefore, according to Reb Chaim, it would make sense. I know Reb Chaim was not big into the Hidini Muchan Mezumans. We know that. He probably didn't make Hidini Muchan Mezumans. But you see that this idea would make sense according on Yom Kippur. Two views of how you treat a cholish yesh bo sakana on Yom Kippur. Again, the custom among Rabbanim, even today, seems to be to suggest to people that they try to eat a pachos mikashir where possible. However, now that the Soloveitchik, Rabbi Soloveitchik, the Rav in Boston, kind of popularized his grandfather's opinion, there are some Rabbanim who tell people who are sick, no, you eat whatever you need to eat, and don't. And limits the discussion or the requirement, the pachos mikashir, to someone who's not yet a chola sheish bo sakana, or a pregnant woman, or a nursing mother, or a case like that. What's amazing about this issue, about how to treat sick people on Yom Kippur, and the two views as reflected by the Shulchan Aruch and by Reb Chaim Brisker, is that this issue has become so much part of the Jewish psyche that it actually reflects itself in Jewish history and Jewish literature. And there's a famous, famous case of a cholera epidemic in Vilna in 1848. And this cholera epidemic in Vilna in 1848 and how it was addressed on Yom Kippur has been the topic of stories and legends to this very day. Already at the end of the 19th century, there were at least two versions of this story that were prominent. The most famous was a version that was written by David Frischman, who was one of the great Hebrew authors of that period. It was called Shlosha Shachu. And in the most beautiful prose, he describes in Hebrew what happened that Yom Kippur. He describes it as a young boy who was sitting in the back of the shul watching Rabbi Yisrael dying on Yom Kippur in Shul, how he dealt with it. And I read you here from Frischman I read it, I'm reading it from the English translation, Manuel Etkus's English translation. And he says, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter posted notices in all the shuls on the eve of Yom Kippur, not to fast on this holy and awesome day, to cut short the recitation of Piyutim, and to walk about outside of the city during the cool of the day. And the next day, following the morning service on Yom Kippur morning, he took in his hand some baked goods, ascended the bima, recited the blessing, and ate in the presence of the entire congregation, so that the people might see and act likewise. One of the worshippers, among the distinguished people of the town, rose up upon seeing this, excited by zeal for the sanctity of Yom Kippur, and shouted, "Do we not have rabbis and righteous teachers who know the laws of Pikuach Nefesh?" They did not allow eating in public as he has done, and the entire assembly was greatly agitated. But Frischman goes on to say that Yisrael Salanter stood on the bima and waited until everybody came and ate from his food. Now, this story, which is the legend, is that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, during the cholera epidemic, he didn't worry about chatzi shir. It doesn't say that he gave them only a little piece to eat. They ate cake, and everybody ate cake. Didn't ask whether this person had someone with cholera in their house. This person was exposed. This person wasn't. Everybody was exposed. Everyone was a chol sheyesh bo sakana, and therefore everybody ate on Yom Kippur. And this is really the legend that's been passed down to us. However, recently, there's been some scholarly work done on this story. Most famously, Professor Emanuel Etkus from the Hebrew University wrote a biography, intellectual biography of Yisrael Salanter. He wrote it in Hebrew, then it was translated into English. And he was able to locate a report that was written by none other than Rabbi Isaac Lipkin. Rabbi Isaac Lipkin was the son of Yisrael Salanter. And he was there in Vilna in 1848, and this is the story that he tells. During the time of the sickness, may it not happen to us, he refers to it euphemistically, but that's the cholera epidemic of 1848. When Yom Kippur arrived, he, meaning my father, permitted the for food, as is known, and he decided this only on the night before Yom Kippur. Whoa. According to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's son, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter did allow eating on Yom Kippur, but only pachos mikashir. Now, historically, you have to trust the report of Yisrael Salanter's son. He was there, and he's giving a historical rendition of the story. While David Frischman is telling you, you know, that was incorporated as kind of what we would call today historical fiction or historical novel. It is true that Yisrael Salanter's son may have wanted his father to appear frummer, but let's take him on his word. What's interesting to me in this story is that even though the facts seem to be that Yisrael Salanter did not allow people to eat, you know, as much as they wanted. He required them only to eat pachos mikashir. Nevertheless, the legend still to this day is that Yisrael Salanter gave a piece of cake to everybody in the shul. That the legend is that we're not being makil, we're not being lenient in the laws of Yom Kippur, we're being machmir in pikuach nefesh. And that is, you know, to give the impression of Yisrael Salanter, you know, Yisrael Salanter, who was known as the great Bal Musar, but as the one who was known to be so concerned about each and every individual, it seemed fitting, at least in legend, that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter would insist that everybody ate whatever they needed to eat. So these two views of how you feed a chol sheyesh bo sakana are based on a very important disagreement in halacha, based on two gemaras, a Mishnah Maseches Yuma and a gemara in Maseches Krisus. According to the Shulchan Aruch, the gemara Maseches Krisus explains the Mishnah and Yuma, even though they don't quote one another. Rav Chaim Brisker says, no, they're two different issues. The gemara in Krisus is talking only about a meuberes, only about a pregnant woman, and the Mishnah and Yuma is talking about any chol sheyesh bo sakana. And therefore, they have a difference of opinion in terms of how they view on Yom Kippur. The story of Yisrael Salanter, it's so fascinating that there are two versions of that story of the cholera epidemic in Vilna in 1848, and those two versions reflect these two views, which is, how exactly do you feel the cholera sheyesh bo sakana? Was it true, as David Frischman and Shlomo Shachtel wants to argue, that Yisrael Salanter gave everyone as much food as they needed? Or is it true as his son, as Yisrael Salanter's son, Rabbi Isaac Lipkin, argues that no, he gave them only pachos, mikashir? It's hard to know exactly what happened. Sometimes, you know, a story is more true than the facts. And in this case, it's the idea, it's the message, it's the fact that there are two versions, which is so fascinating. So, as we look forward to Yom Kippur, we hope, please God, that we are all able to fast, we're all well, we're all able to fast, and we're all able to be mekayim the mitzvah, the inisim es nafsho seichem. At the same time, we read number one, their need to eat has been the source of much controversy and discussion in halacha. But at least according to Chaim Brisker, and really the Shulchan Aruch, you know, in a way, at least in the second level, would hope is that hitting the mukh, that it would be schus kiyu mitzvah zu, that in the merit of those who have to eat and fulfill the mitzvah v'chai bahem, v'lo sheyamus bahem, tachtomo sivet kol cholei amcha Yisrael l'refuah shleima, v'ezkev yom ha-kippur ma'ba l'kayim shuv v'inisim es nashu seichem, ken yihi ratzon. Amen. Gmar simatov.
For taking a difficult subject and making it very clear, I'm sure it will be helpful for us.
Can you give me any practical contemporary examples of what is meant by a polish yeshbo sakana? What would that mean exactly? How sick would a person have to be in modern terms?
That's a good question. That's a very, very good question. Obviously we're very lenient in defining a polish yeshbo sakana. A polish yeshbo sakana means anyone who the doctor thinks that they don't eat on Yom Kippur, that they could be in a situation which could be a risk to their health, that they, you know, that could put them in a dangerous situation. Now, the interesting thing here is that, you know, it doesn't mean someone called me today and they said they have migraine headaches. You know, when they fast, they have migraine headaches. Bad migraine headaches means they vomit when they have migraine headaches and they have to sleep when they have migraine headaches. And the answer is that migraine headaches are not a cholera sheyesh bo sakana, because they have migraine headaches, you know, and it's unpleasant, but it would not be considered a cholera sheyesh bo sakana. At the same time, someone who has a heart condition and is required to take medicine, and that medicine, let's say that medicine would require food, that person is a cholera sheyesh bo sakana. Now, they may feel fine on Yom Kippur, but that person is someone with a heart condition is a cholera sheyesh bo sakana. You know, blood pressure medicine, you know, and that's why, you know, it's important for the rabbis to consult with doctors on this issue, because, you know, it's hard to really know. I mean, it's a tremendous responsibility to tell someone that they can eat, to tell someone they can't eat on Yom Kippur, you know, is a very, very serious serious kind of consideration, even for pregnant women. You know, generally speaking, the custom is that pregnant women should fast on Yom Kippur. But, you know, every situation is different. And, you know, when you go to visit patients in the hospital in Erev Yom Kippur, they always tell the story, you know, about the old Rabbanim who go to the hospital in Erev Yom Kippur. And, you know, they talk to each one of the patients. And, you know, it's very important when you talk to the patients to be able to speak to the doctor to know exactly what the story is. So if the doctor says that there is a potential risk to, you know, to the patient, then you have to respect that. But, you know, it does need to be, you know, each case needs to be analyzed. Then there's a question of someone who needs to take medicine, how exactly you take medicine. So according to Reb Chaim Brisker, if you're a Cholei Sheyesh Bo Sakana, you take medicine as much as you need. But Reb Chaim might agree that in a case where you're fine, but you need medicine in order to prevent you from getting sick, that there you're like a mu'beres, you're like a pregnant woman, and therefore you should eat kachos mikashir. In that situation, you know, you're supposed to take the medicine, and you're supposed to take the medicine, you know, with less than an ounce of water, if that's possible, because then even Reb Chaim would agree that you should have kachos mikashir. I hope that's the beginning of an answer, but obviously, maybe next year that should be a whole other shear.
My guess is that doctors today would be so afraid of lawsuits that they would really lean towards it. They'd be very hesitant to ever say that anybody should fast, so they would definitely not give a, what you might call a truly accurate portrayal of the situation. Would that become an issue for deciding?
Absolutely does. You know, if you speak to doctors, so doctors will tell all pregnant women you shouldn't fast. Right? What you need to find is a doctor who understands the halacha and is not so, you know, and, you know, you could really work with. That's absolutely, you know, that's absolutely an issue. Now, that there one issue, Israel, is, you know, the doctor before Yom Kippur. Generally speaking, someone who gets sick on Yom Kippur, you know, we're pretty lenient. Someone who faints on Yom Kippur, something like that, you know, maybe they don't need to eat, but if the doctor then says they have to eat, you know, I generally speaking, we just would allow them to eat, you know, no questions asked. Or very few questions asked. Okay, thanks a lot. I'm gonna sign off. And again, Gmach Shem Tov to everybody. And look forward to doing this in the future. Be well.